Appropriations Subcommittee will come to order. Emma, please call the roll.
Chair Bisada Cabrera.
Here.
Vice Chair Mooney.
Here.
Ranking Member Robinson.
Here.
Representatives Arrington.
Here.
Wasabi.
Here.
Ferrero. Edmonds.
Here.
Harris.
Here.
Holcomb.
Here.
Maggard.
Here.
Maney.
Here.
Nixon. Persons Malika.
Here.
Steele.
Here.
Stevenson. A quorum is present, Madam Chair.
Thank you, members, and by your presence, we have a quorum. I want to welcome everyone to the State Administration and Technology Appropriations Subcommittee. Please make sure that cell phones and other communication devices are turned off or on silent mode. I want to welcome members of the governor's staff who are with us this morning to present his budget recommendations for fiscal year 2023 to 2024. Lori Grizel, Policy Coordinator of the General Government Unit of the Governor's Office of Policy and Budget, will lead the presentation. A number of the governor's agency heads are with us this morning to discuss their respective agencies' budget recommendations. As we have each presenter present, we will take questions from committee members as that presenter is up there, and then Lori Grizel will finish at the end. Ms. Grizel, welcome. You're recognized to begin when you're ready.
Good morning, Chair Bisada Cabrera, members. I am Lori Grizel, Policy Coordinator of the General Government Unit within the Governor's Office of Policy and Budget. Today, I'm here with the leadership of some of our agencies to present highlights of Governor DeSantis's Framework for Freedom budget recommendations for general government agencies. I would like to thank both the staff in the Office of Policy and Budget, as well as the staff in all of our agencies, for their hard work to put together the Governor's Framework for Freedom budget. We look forward to working with you and your staff throughout the budget process. The agencies that fall under the general government policy area for this committee are Department of Business and Professional Regulation, Florida Gaming Control Commission, the Department of the Lottery, the Department of Management Services, including Florida Digital Services, Division of Administrative Hearings, Commission on Human Relations, Public Employee Relations Commission, the Department of Financial Services, including the Office of Financial Regulation and the Office of Insurance Regulation, the Department of Revenue, and the Public Service Commission. This chart presents an overall picture of the Framework for Freedom budget by policy area. First, all funds on the left, $114.8 billion, and then general revenue only of $42 billion. This is an increase of $3.8 billion over the current year budget. The total proposed budget for the agencies in the general government area under the purview of this committee is $2.4 billion. The budget for these agencies is mostly trust funded, meaning that their budgets are funded by dedicated revenue streams. General revenue represents only 21% of the recommended budget. And now to present highlights of the Framework for Freedom budget for the Department of Business and Professional Regulation, we have Secretary Melanie Griffin.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, it is an honor to speak with you today. As you can hear, I've been so excited about the Framework for Freedom budget all week that I've lost my voice celebrating. But we are excited here at DBPR, and we are responsible for ensuring that almost 1.6 million licensees across more than 30 fields of industry provide safe, quality services for Florida's millions of residents and visitors. The department also supports nearly 220,000 licensees for the Florida Gaming Control Commission, who you'll hear from next, for a total of 1.8 million licensees in our licensing system. We are grateful for the governor's Framework for Freedom budget that recommends several funding issues for our agency's major issues. Those include, first, as you see, the identity verification software. The governor is recommending almost more than $3.5 million for a third-party verification product. The software will help verify identifications in real time, which will be helpful in reducing application fraud and making sure that the licensees in our system are real people. For the public safety and welfare of consumers, this verification software must verify the customer's identity in real time by Social Security number, driver's license, date of birth, and address. Being able to use an identification verification software would benefit DBPR's services and efficiency by eliminating the need to manually verify each applicant's identity on a case-by-case basis and sometimes after the fraudulent application has already occurred. Second is resources to better serve customers and businesses. The governor is recommending $1.3 million for 13 full-time positions to better serve business and consumers across the state. These positions include two positions for a total of $310,422 to ensure the Florida Athletic Commission has the resources to address the growth of sporting events in our state. As you may not know, these events have grown by approximately 150% in the past couple of years, when we have tripled from hosting approximately 50 events in the state in 2019 to more than 150 events this past year throughout the state, which is not only great for the combat sporting world, but also derives significant revenues in terms of tourism dollars to our restaurants, hotels, and otherwise throughout the state associated with these events. Five positions for a total of $371,384 would go to the Division of Hotels and Restaurants for plan reviews of food service establishments to ensure minimum sanitation and safety requirements are met. As you can imagine, with 845 people moving to the state of Florida every single day, our food applications are up 10% for restaurants. And so having those plan reviews completed quickly and efficiently is essential to getting new businesses up and running in our state. Two positions for a total of $203,466 would be dedicated to the Division of Condos, Timeshares, and Mobile Homes to address the inadequate supervisor-to-employee ratios in the Doral and Fort Lauderdale field offices, where the majority of those constituent issues are located and arising. In that same division for condos, timeshares, and mobile homes, there would be an additional four positions for a total of $341,511 for the implementation requirements of SB4D, which, as you all may know, addresses the structural integrity and life safety of Floridians who are living in condos. Those would be three positions living in the Broward area and then an additional dedicated position in Tallahassee. The next issue is pay increases to address attrition in critical areas. The governor is recommending $1.4 million for pay increases to address attrition in two of our main divisions. The first one being our customer contact center, where the governor is recommending $510,822 additional dollars, alongside offering 24/7 access to information to the call center that serves as our primary source of information and interaction with our core constituents, licensed applicants, and the consumer public. The governor is also recommending $400,336 for our central intake unit, which is the one-stop shop solution for intake of licensure applications and payments into the department. The primary functions of the bureau include payment processing, application processing, and license maintenance. This past year, we are proud to reduce our application processing by more than 60% to try to make sure that all applications are processed in 0 to 7 days, and we want to be able to keep up with that pace in getting Floridians to work with all the additional licensees are being added to our database. There would also be $444,534 added to the Division of Hotels and Restaurants for food and lodging inspection staff. Again, with an increase in restaurants, we not only need more inspectors to keep up with that pace, but with increased traffic, it takes longer and longer for our inspectors to get to each establishment to make sure we can ensure the safety of Floridians. The next place where the governor is recommending additional funding for the agency is the acquisition and replacement of motor vehicles. The governor is recommending $1.2 million for the acquisition and replacement of motor vehicles for the Division of Hotels and Restaurants specifically. There would be $273,000 to replace motor vehicles within the division of hotels and restaurants. This would replace 13 motor vehicles that are over 15 years old and have over 150,000 miles. We want to ensure that our employees are safe getting from place to place around the state. It also would allow for $960,000 for the acquisition of 40 additional motor vehicles, including fuel and maintenance for inspection staff, in lieu of reimbursing for the use of personal vehicles, which our employees do prefer given the lower mileage reimbursement rate. The last area that the governor is recommending for our agency to highlight today is law enforcement training and equipment. The governor is recommending $165,460 for law enforcement training and equipment within our Division of Alcoholic Beverages and Tobacco. $56,000 of this would be for law enforcement equipment, and over $100,000 would be for law enforcement training. Again, we are grateful, bless you, for the governor's Framework for Freedom budget recommendations, and will continue to work hard for the citizens of Florida. Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members, for your time. I don't know if there are any questions.
Members, are there any questions for Secretary Griffin? Representative Nixon, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Hi, good morning. I have just two questions. Number one, do you happen to know the lowest salary within your agency?
Secretary, you're recognized.
Thank you. $15 per hour.
Representative Nixon?
What position is that for, and would the influx of cash, is that one of the areas where there will be pay increases?
Secretary?
Thank you. Yes, in terms of the call centers, that's one of the two divisions that is being recommended. That would allow us to then, we've already been doing what we can to increase those positions, and it would allow us to further do so to make sure that there is not a vacancy in those roles.
Representative Nixon, follow up.
So will everyone who makes $15 an hour get an increase, or is it just specifically within that division? Are there other areas within your agency that the staff makes $15 an hour that won't be receiving a pay raise?
Secretary?
I am unaware of the answer to that question. I do know an area of critical concern for us is the alcoholic beverage and tobacco division, where we have a 65% vacancy rate in our licensing division, and there have not been additional allocated dollars for that area.
Two more questions.
Representative Nixon, you're recognized.
Thank you. Could you provide me with like a cost break, with the breakdown of your salaries for all of the folks that work within your agency?
Secretary?
It'd be our pleasure.
Okay. And then last question.
Yes, Representative Nixon.
You stated that there is going to be an increase in inspectors within the hotels and restaurants portion of your agency. Can you tell me like where they're going to be headed?
Secretary, you're recognized.
I don't know exactly where they'll be divided up. It would be based on where we see the most need in terms of new we talked about restaurants, but not just restaurants, but it's also all hotels, and they also inspect all apartment complexes with 5 units or more. I can tell you that an area of critical need for us right now is in South Florida. There's been a 25% vacancy rate there recently, and so having the additional dollars to beef up our staff, particularly in that area of the state, but I don't want to mislead you that that's the exclusive area where we need additional help.
Representative Edmonds, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Secretary, thank you so much for your energy this morning. I really appreciate it. I just have a question about the law enforcement training and equipment. Could you be a little bit more detailed about what equipment that you all need to purchase?
Secretary?
I have wonderful staff here with me, and I'm wondering if they know the answer to the question. This is Lynn Smith, who is our budget chair. We're also joined by Jonas Marquez, our legislative affairs director, and Jacob Holmgreen, our deputy director. And if it's okay with you, Madam Chair, may I refer to Lynn Smith?
Yes, Ms. Smith, you're recognized.
Thank you. The law enforcement training and equipment is part of the forfeiture program. The ABNT law enforcement received forfeiture dollars from joint investigations that they did with other agencies. And so to utilize those funds, they specifically have to be for law enforcement needs. And so the equipment usually is the equipment that they don't use state dollars to buy. We're looking at flashlights, pepper spray, training equipment. It sounds, I don't know, I'm not a law enforcement, but these plastic things. And then also, you know, it could be 1 year, you know, they replaced, you know, weapons, and it's always ammunition and stuff like that. The training is specialized training for their supervisors. I think FDLE had initiated a new training on, and I can't even remember what it's called, but there's training that's involved. Also new employees, they do a specialized training for them. So, and it just depends on the number of supervisors that need training, the number of new employees. They don't necessarily spend all the dollars, but they're non-recurring dollars. So we have to ask every year. And the equipment is determined on what the need is at that time. They may not need 20 flashlights that year, but they'll ask for it. So typically it's a supplement to what they're spending their state dollars on.
Thank you. Representative Edmonds, do you have a follow-up?
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Members, any other further questions for Secretary Griffin? Representative Stevenson, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for being here today. I reflect in your energy. It's great to hear somebody so excited about their work. It's awesome. I had a question. You mentioned additional staffing for the condo. Is that the Surfside bill for that is when you said
4D is a follow-up to Surfside, yes.
May I?
Representative Stevenson?
Have you had many inquiries about how to implement that? I've had some inquiries in my office for what does structural reserve study, what does that mean? You know, the kind of basic study. Are you receiving any inquiries for guidance on that? Is there rulemaking going on in that regard?
Secretary?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, there is a fact page on our website. If you go, that answers the major questions. There were a few things that are widely recognized that the bill maybe didn't answer in terms of the definition of floor or story, but the responses in our FAQ page point out maybe where there were holes in 4D that the legislature may want to consider this year. And additionally, our staff is available to take questions. So if we can help with anything further, we'd be happy to do so.
Thank you. I'm glad you're getting the staff to, or requesting staff to help you implement that bill. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Members, any further questions for Secretary Griffin? No. Thank you, Secretary.
Thank you.
Before we move on to the next agency, I wanted to follow up on your question, I believe, Representative. In addition to agency-specific raises that you'll see on the particular slides that the agencies are talking about, the Governor's Framework for Freedom budget also includes an across-the-board 5% pay increase for all state employees, and then there is additional money on top of that for recruitment and retention for hard-to-fill positions like nurses, auditors, laboratory technicians, paralegals, attorneys, finance and budget folks, accounting and information technology staff, and then numerous different raises for sworn law enforcement officers to raise their minimum pay to $55,000, provide pay adjustments within certain salary brackets, and additional increases based on years of service. So that would be on top of anything else. So there's a variety of different raises within the governor's budget.
Representative Nixon.
Thank you. And so, question, will that increase the salaries across the board? So like, even if it's a vacancy, will that salary go up as well? And it won't just stay at $15 an hour if
that's
not.
That's okay. Correct. Yes. Okay. To present the highlights for the Florida Gaming Control Commission, we have the Executive Director, Lou Trombetta.
Madam Chair, committee members, thank you for having me. My name is Lou Trombetta, and I am here to represent the Florida Gaming Commission and discuss the recommendations provided in the Governor's Framework for Freedom budget. Just as a brief overview, the Gaming Commission was created. It's a new agency in 2001 during a special session. And beginning July 1st of 2022, the commission actually got its power, got its authority. So for the last 7 months, there's been five commissioners overseeing a new agency that consists of a group of employees focused in two areas. So we're tasked with regulating the licensed paramutual industry in the state and creating a law enforcement agency that will go after illegal gambling operations in the state. So we kind of have those two prongs. So to that end, just we are a new agency, and a lot of the recommendations provided by the governor in the budget are facilitated to that end. So our first recommendation contained in the Frame for Freedom budget is for a cybersecurity information officer. And essentially what happened is that when we asked for our initial budget a year and a half ago, we were looking at other agencies and trying to figure out what positions we thought we needed. So the cybersecurity information officer would be an additional new position that would help our agency, in that area. Additionally, the second recommendation is for cloud migration services. This is to move our IT and technology system onto the cloud and, upgrade to the Microsoft Azure system. Our tech system was inspired by the Department of Business and Professional Regulation. So when the Gaming Commission was created, there were 74 new employees or 75 new employees. And then we moved 109 employees from the Department of Business and Professional Regulation into the Gaming Commission. Those are the regulatory employees. So right now, our tech environment is kind of a hybrid, where we're using a lot of DBPR systems, the systems that existed prior to July 1 of 2022, and we're in the process of moving into our own independent network. So that's what a lot of these recommendations are based on. Third, we're requesting additional equipment. So this is $700,000. For additional equipment acquisition, this would be upgrades and refreshes to a lot of the equipment associated with the 109 employees that came over from DBPR. It also adds resiliency to our network, gives us new phones and a few other kind of items that would all be needed as a new agency. Fourth, the governor's recommendation is for additional money to continue to support our licensing system. So as I mentioned, currently we are kind of a hybrid network where a lot of the licensing documents and information is provided on DBPR's network. And for the time being, until we get our own independent contract with the licensing service, we're going to continue to use DBPR's services. Secretary Griffin and the folks at DBPR have been extremely helpful. It's been great to work with them, and they're helping us continue to use the licensing system that is hosted by DBPR. So this is additional money that will be transferred to DBPR in return for the services that they're providing to us and hosting that information. And then finally is a new request for money to essentially think of it like a retainer with an independent testing lab. This money, the plan is that this will be used mostly for our law enforcement as we confiscate devices. We want to have an independent testing lab on retainer that we can use to look at these devices and tell us exactly what it is as we build these criminal cases. A lot of these labs, there's a few of them that exist. It's very common for gaming commissions around the country to either have an in-house tech, like a forensic tech lab team, or they outsource it. We're going with an outsource because, it saves the state money. And a lot of these independent labs also provide kind of consulting services where they'll help with technical rules and specifications, again, for staff that we may not have. So overall, I think the governor's recommended a lot of very helpful dollars for the Gaming Commission to really help us get going, and we're very appreciative for the support. So I'm at this point, Madam Chair, I'm at your disposal.
Thank you, Director. Members, are there any questions for Director Trombetta? Thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
To present highlights for the Department of Lottery, we have Secretary John Davis.
Good morning, Chair Basada Cabrera, Vice Chair Mooney, and members of the subcommittee. I want to thank you for the opportunity to present the highlights of Governor DeSantis' Framework for Freedom budget for the Florida Lottery. At the Florida Lottery, our mission is pretty simple, and that is to maximize revenues to enhance education. And thanks to the support of Governor DeSantis, as well as the legislature, we've been able to reach several major milestones that have made a difference for Florida students, the families, as well as the communities throughout this state. Last fiscal year, the lottery finished with over $9.3 billion in sales, and we're able to transfer slightly more than $9.3 billion to the Educational Enhancement Trust Fund, which were both records for the lottery. And this has marked the second year in a row that the lottery has finished as the number one revenue-generating lottery in the entire country. To put this in perspective, the lottery's contributions to education through our ticket sales equates to a transfer that equals $6.3 million a day. And we're excited about that, and we're continuing to do what's necessary to grow that number. In addition to these great accomplishments, I'm proud to also share the following facts. The Florida Lottery continues to operate on less than 1% of revenue. And that's our total revenue in which we're operating on less than 1%. So not only are we're producing record sales, but we're also doing it very efficiently. And we're proud to be a part of something that is important to the governor. And we are completely self-funded from ticket sales, and we do not receive any general funding. In the governor's framework for freedom budget, the governor has proposed a $224.7 million budget for the lottery, which includes 424.5 full-time employees. Now, here are the highlights of the governor's budget request. The first recommendation provides $2.4 million in four full-time positions for technology modernization and support. And that's included in this request, which is $500,000 for two additional IT employees to support the lottery's network and provide project management for IT systems. We also have two new data security officers to further protect our data from outside threats. $900,000 is provided for end-of-life systems replacement, which includes the following. $100,000 in additional funding to refresh our aging IT hardware equipment. $180,000 for replacing the department's internal help desk ticketing system. $636,819 for replacing the lottery's aging core data switch, which will no longer be supported after October of this year. Also, nearly $1 million for cloud migration to transition our core data center infrastructure to the clouds. Next is $712,500 for a sales representative performance reward plan. The recommended sales representative reward plan will allow the lottery to implement a tiered reward system by high-performing sales representatives. It provides an opportunity for the lottery's 114 sales reps to earn a maximum reward of $5,000 per year. It also assists the lottery, of course, like many other agencies, with staff retention issues, and we continue to compete with the higher salaries that are offered in the private sector. In short, it encourages our team to not just meet expectations, but to exceed them. The final recommendation provides an additional $7.8 million for increasing payments to vendors due to higher ticket sales. This recommendation is presented every single year that we're here, and the rate paid to vendors for the sale of tickets is a set percentage, and as sale increases, of course, the vendor fees increases as well. And most importantly, the transfers to the EETF also increases. For every dollar of lottery ticket sales, about 1.3 cents goes to pay ticket and vendor fees, while slightly more than 26% is transferred to the trust fund. In closing, I'd like to thank Governor DeSantis for his continued support of the lottery and his framework for freedom budget. And again, I'd also like to thank you all, and Chair, as well as the committee members, for the support that you continue to provide the lottery as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary Davis. Members, are there any questions for the Secretary? Representative Nixon, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Hi, good morning. I have a few, around two questions. Number one, the same question I had for Secretary Bay. Yes. Can you tell me what the lowest salary is for your in your agency?
Secretary, you're recognized.
Madam Chair, currently $31,200.
Representative Nixon, follow up.
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. Also, I have a question about the Florida Council on Compulsive Gaming. You all fund that organization, correct?
Secretary?
Thank you, Chair. We provide funding. I don't think we're not the only funding source.
Okay. Representative Nixon, follow up?
Follow up, yes. So they currently get $1.25 million every year, but I was alerted that they only collect $2 million, that y'all collect $2 million, and I'm just interested in knowing, where that remaining goes. And then also, within this new budget this year, will you fully fund them at the $2 million that they're supposed to get?
Secretary Davis, if that to the best of your ability, if you want to answer that question, I think that also may be under someone else's purview.
Got it.
Thank
Secretary
you, Chair.
Davis, you're recognized.
That's going to be my answer.
Okay. Representative Nixon, any other questions for Secretary Davis?
I kind of have a question for you, Chair, in regards to that. Can I ask that or no? I'm interested to know whose purview that is under.
So at the end of the presentation, once we have all of the different department and mm-hmm. agencies go, we will have the governor's office back up
Got
at the
it.
End,
okay.
and we can ask any additional follow-up
okay.
questions.
Thank you.
Any further questions, members, for Secretary Davis? Thank you, Secretary, for your time today.
Thank you.
To present highlights for the Department of Management Services, we have Secretary Pedro Allende.
Good morning. Thank you, Chair Buzetta Cabrera, Vice Chair Mooney, members of the committee, for the opportunity to present a brief overview of Governor Ron DeSantis's Freedom for Framework budget for the Florida Department of Management Services this morning. Florida Department of Management Services is the primary business workforce and technology provider to the Florida government. DMS is proud to serve those who serve Florida, working every day to create efficiencies, value, and sustainable cost savings for Florida taxpayers. The DMS team takes pride in providing excellent service to support and supporting agencies and their priorities through innovation and technology. Slide one is focused on business operations. We have three main functional areas. This is the first one. The following two will be workforce operations and the Florida Digital Service. The business operations slides includes recommendations include real estate, telecommunications, state purchasing fleet, and private prison monitoring. Under telecommunications, the governor's Freedom for Framework budget includes continued investment in first responder communications, both at the state and local level, to provide first responders the resources they need to keep our communities safe. The budget includes investments in SLRS, the statewide law enforcement radio system, unified emergency communication system for state law enforcement. It's also used by many local first responders. Excuse me. The budget includes funding for two new towers for the system, as well as ongoing independent verification and validation services as we upgrade the system to Project 25 standards. That work began in 2021. The Framework for Freedom budget also includes increased funding in staff to administer grants to local governments to upgrade their 911 systems. DMS administers this grant program to improve their call taking and dispatching systems. Budget also includes proposed investments in several new buildings, $6 million for the design and planning of a new state office building in the Capitol Circle office complex in Tallahassee. The new building will provide the state options to improve working conditions for state employees. continuing to work the Office of the State Courts Administrator. The budget recommends $6 million for the design and planning of the 6th District Court of Appeals. The budget also recommends funding for land and building acquisition so that the department could be more agile in acquiring office space and funding increasing repairs and maintenance of key buildings in the pool. The next slide, please. This slide is focused on workforce operations, which is focused on strategies and policy guidance related to employee benefits, like health insurance and retirement for state employees, and administering People First, the state's human resource information system. The governor's budget recommends funding to equip agencies in the SPS, the state personnel system, with the necessary tools to recruit and retain a high-performing state workforce. Specifically, Governor DeSantis recommends funding to continue to prepare to modernize the state's classification and compensation system. The current version has been in place for just about 20 years, since 2002. And although the workforce has evolved, the system has kind of remained stagnant. Funding will allow us to build on an ongoing study to develop a new recommended structure. People First, the state's human resource information system, was last procured in 2015 and will need to be procured in short order. People First serves more than 230,000 current and former state of Florida employees and more than 1 million job applicants as the state's web-based self-service human resources information system. It's the public-facing state of Florida job site and the enterprise-wide suite of human resource and insurance benefit services. The recommended funding is to support the procurement of the new system and to bring two additional FTEs to support these efforts. Next, the Florida retirement system, currently the fourth largest state retirement system in the nation, with more than 1.1 million members and more than 1,000 participating employees. The governor's budget recommends funding to help maintain effective stewardship of the state's resources by ensuring accurate and timely benefit payments are made to the correct retirees or beneficiaries, and the department is timely notified when a recipient passes. Additional funding is recommended to ensure that the department has appropriate technology in place and staffing levels to support our active members and retirees. In addition, the governor's budget recommends funding additional resources to support agency operations. This includes staffing for the State Agency for Surplus Property Program. This is a program that's responsible for coordinating and redistributing federal surplus property. This produced cost savings to donees and law enforcement to the amount of $88 million last year fiscal year, and also included our funding and resources to assist in the retention of the Office of the General Counsel in the department and the creation of a trust fund unit within DMS's Office of Planning and Budget. Responding to Governor DeSantis' call to modernize state technology, the legislature created the Florida Digital Service to support cybersecurity efforts and data interoperability enterprise-wide. FLDS set up and manages the state's first cybersecurity operations center. This is unique. There are 30 state agencies collaborating on security and sharing intelligence with each other in real time. In support of this mission, the governor's Framework for Freedom budget focuses on a few key areas. The governor recommends increasing FLDS's team and capabilities to help agencies improve their posture to defend against cyber attacks, conduct incident response work on behalf of agencies, and continue to implement the recommendations of the Cybersecurity Task Force. Excuse me. To accomplish this, the governor is recommending $50 million in new funding to maintain enterprise cybersecurity resiliency initiatives and to further implement the recommendations of the task force. The governor is also recommending additional funding and FTEs to implement the data catalog and support administrative functions to benefit the state enterprise interoperability and deepen collaboration within the state. And finally, the governor recommends $45.5 million in general revenue funds to maintain and expand a grant program to support local government adoption of cybersecurity standards. With that, I'd like to thank the chair, the vice chair, and the members of the committee. And with your permission, I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Secretary. Members, are there any questions for Secretary Allende? Representative Nixon, you're recognized.
Just the one. Thank you, Madam Chair. Is your lowest salary also $15 an hour?
Secretary, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Nixon, the lowest salary at the department is $15 an hour, which is roughly $31,200 a year. Happy to anticipate your follow-up, or again.
Representative Nixon, any follow-up? No, all right. Representative Maggard, you're recognized.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Can you go back to the first slide on the buildings? I'm curious here. So explain to me the plan and design of the new state office building for $6 million. Where's that at again?
Sure.
Secretary?
Sorry, Madam Chair. Representative, that would be in the Capitol Southwood, Capitol Circle office complex down in Southwood, adjacent to the Department of Management Services, Department of Revenue, in that general area.
Representative Maggard, follow up.
Thank you. So we're paying $6 million to have it designed?
Secretary?
That's right. It's $6 million to design, engineer, do advanced understanding of what the site work will look like, and so on.
Representative Maggard?
Follow up. How big is this building?
Secretary?
I don't have that in front of me, but I'm happy to get with you at a later date, if that's okay, and walk you through all of that, sir.
Representative Maggard, follow up.
Thank you. I'll come back to that one in a second. State land and building acquisitions for 10. State land, I won't, but the building acquisition, what buildings would we be buying?
Secretary.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That is a fund, ideally, to allow us to move more quickly to acquire land and buildings that we think may be strategically important for the state. The current process is to acquire land, we would have to go to the Legislative Budget Conference and then have a cabinet meeting approve purchases. This would allow us to move a little more quickly, particularly in Florida's hot real estate market. There's nothing specific behind that dollar amount at this moment. It's simply to allow us to move more quickly when we need to.
Representative Maggard, follow up.
Thank you. I assume and I hope that I know we have state buildings that are not completely full and that a lot of them are half empty or however how you want to half full or half empty, however how you want to look at the glass. It was sort of funny. You can laugh a little. But I would hope we would try to consolidate with what we have instead of going buying new buildings and things if we have these buildings half empty.
Secretary?
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's Representative. I agree with the premise of your question.
Thank you.
We should be efficient as far as we can, and there's currently a downtown study that's being worked on to analyze that very issue. So we're happy to get with you and walk you through the plans.
That's fine. Thank you.
Representative Maggard, follow up?
I'm fine. Thank you.
Members?
Yeah, please get with me if you don't mind.
Yes, sir.
Members, any further questions for the Secretary? Representative Barrero, you're recognized.
Yes, general question. We're not going to pick apart your budget. So don't worry. So my general question is, one of my concerns in South Florida is traffic. We deal so much with heavy traffic on virtually every road. And I'm thinking about creative ways which the state can help to fund high-speed transit. And I'm thinking about extending it, if you know the South Florida area, down from around Kendall Drive on Southwest 88th Street, extending rail down to about Homestead. I think it'll help to improve our economy, help to people get faster to where they need to go. It's just, you know, the possibilities are, and the benefits of that are so wide-reaching. And also east-west as well. I think we need to start looking in Miami-Dade County on high-speed rail that would fund east-west even as far down as Chrome. So my question really is you know, through DMS, do you think that there could be a possibility of a land acquisition or even existing land easements or infrastructure to fund these sorts of high-speed rail systems in Dade County?
Secretary?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative, I think that's a question I haven't thought about. I'm happy to think about and get with you on this. To the extent that we can be helpful, and that's going to require some coordination with the governor's office, and we'll be happy to look into it and get back with you.
Thank you. Members, any further questions? Yeah. Representative Nixon, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm sorry. Can you go a little deeper into the emergency 911 call services piece? I'm new to this committee. What would be helpful for me is to know, like, how that relates to the local municipalities' 911 services and that type of thing. Does it relate?
Secretary?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative, these are grants that would be provided to local governments. In terms of the service itself, we're looking at NG 911, Next Generation 911, which expands the ability to provide additional communications to first responders. That would include GPS data, text messages, that would expand the suite of available communications so that they know where you are more easily and can come to help to, you know, as available and needed.
And Representative Nixon, the meeting that we notice next week, we will have an E911 presentation and we can go into further detail. Any follow-up questions? No. Members, any further questions for the Secretary? Thank you, Secretary, for your
time. Thank you.
Before I explain the highlights for Division of Administrative Hearings, I'd like to follow up on your question on the compulsive gambling. That appropriation is $1,250,000, and it's in the Gaming Commission. It previously had been in Department of Business and Professional Regulation, and then when the Gaming Commission was created, it was moved over. So that is the full appropriation, and they send it.
Representative Nixon, follow up.
So it's not, thank you, Madam Chair. So it's not, I was under the impression it was supposed to be, it would have been fully funded at $2 million? No, that's not the case.
The appropriation that the legislature has had for years, it's a recurring appropriation, is the 1.25.
Okay. Representative Nixon, follow up.
Thank you.
Some of the highlights for the Division of Administrative Hearings. This is DOA. The first one is $1 million in 5 positions for additional administrative law judges. This will help DOA handle the anticipated increase in contract dispute resolution referrals from Citizens Property Insurance due to a policy change allowing claims disputes to now be heard at DOA. $1.2 million for administrative law judge competitive salary increase, and $170,000 for judges of compensation claims competitive salary increases. These increases will bring the salaries of all of the judges up to $172,000, which will be the same as county court judges. And this addresses the current difficulty in recruiting and retention of judges. And then the last issue on this page is $1.2 million for additional retirement contributions for the administrative law judges. Highlights for the Department of Financial Services. First issue, $4.2 million for information technology initiatives. Some of these projects include replacing end-of-life telecommunications infrastructure, developing a strategy for transitioning information technology infrastructure to cloud-based services, developing plans to modernize the antiquated systems related to workers' compensation, the system used for licensing insurance agents, the system for rehabilitation and liquidation claims, and the collateral management program, as well as replacing the electronic service of process application. $2 million and 9 positions for anti-fraud initiative funding. This is for issues such as law enforcement training on financial crimes, fraud, and forensic investigations, additional staff to investigate fraud related to insolvent insurers, and a third property and casualty homeowners fraud investigation squad. $1.6 million for investigative response equipment. This is for the bomb squads and fire and arson investigators. Some of these items include replacement of bomb suits, respiratory protection equipment, bomb squad robots, night vision goggles,
handheld explosive substance detectors, and a mobile command center vehicle, and then $9 million for State Fire College and Arson Lab renovations and repairs. Some of the highlights related to Department of Revenue, $58 million for distributions to fiscally constrained and small counties. Florida statutes require this funding to fiscally constrained counties to offset reductions in ad valorem tax revenue for homestead exemption and conservation lands. Currently, the state has 29 fiscally constrained counties. $7.5 million for information technology initiatives. This includes transitioning the child support system to a newer database and planning for upgraded software, migrating the SunTax system to the cloud, cybersecurity initiatives to protect data and applications from outside attacks, and $2.8 million in operational cost increases for things like legal advisory services, banking service cost increases associated with credit card convenience fees, private lease cost increases throughout the country, and upgrading scanning and sorting equipment. And our last slide highlights for Public Service Commission are some efficiency savings of a reduction of $203,000 and two vacant positions. And that concludes our presentation. I'm happy to take questions on any of these last slides or anything else in the presentation.
Thank you, members. Are there any remaining questions on the governor's budget recommendations? Representative Arrington, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If we can go back to the slide or the Department of Financial Services, and you spoke of the anti-fraud initiatives, and I believe you spoke something with insurance in there, but also other fraud initiatives. So I'm just wondering if you could go a little bit more on the property insurers part.
Ms. Grizzell, you're recognized.
Right now the department has two property and casualty homeowners fraud insurance squads, and they have been doing a really good job investigating and finding fraud and starting to refer it to for prosecution. And so this is a third squad that would be out there to help throughout the state identify that. The idea being that the fraud increases property insurance and rates, and so the more that fraud can be reduced, then hopefully rates won't go up as much.
Representative, recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So it's the anti-fraud squad. I like the name, so that's why I was clarifying. But the new squad, then, is it going to be a specific region or area that they're going to be concentrated in, or are they mobile and can go anywhere?
Ms. Grizzell?
We will have to get that information for you. I don't see anyone from Department of Financial Services here, but we'll provide that the detail for you.
Members, any further questions? Representative Stevenson, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I also have a question in the Department of Financial Services. I understand that we've had a significant increase in security dealers' licenses, I didn't see any staff here to deal with that. Do you feel like you have enough staff to cover that?
I believe you're asking about within Department of Financial Services, the Office of Financial Regulation. Mm-hmm. Is that correct? The
yes.
Security dealers. We had looked at that issue, and the governor did not recommend funding because they had numerous vacancies in that. If that's the same issue that you are talking about,
Representative Stevenson, follow up.
Thank you. So they have positions. Do they also have rate to fill those positions,
Ms. Grizzell?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Members, any further questions? Yes, Representative Harris, you're recognized.
Thank you so much, Madam Chair. I had a similar question as Rep. Stevenson. I didn't see much on the funding of the Office of Insurance Regulation. Is there going to be any extra funding going into that office as well?
Ms. Grizzell?
Thank you. We did not provide any additional funding. They, in this last special session, got salary increases as part of that. So we have continued those salary increases in our budget.
Representative Harris, follow up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So there's no other funding other than the salary increases then, is that?
Ms. Grizzell?
The hurricane model that the all of the different experts use, there was an increase in that. I think a few other technical type issues.
Representative Harris, follow up. Members, any further questions? Ms. Grizzell, thank you for your presentation this morning. I want to thank all of the governor's staff who joined us this morning for the very informative presentation. We appreciate you having joined us this morning. Thank you. This concludes our agenda. Seeing no further business, Representative Harris moves that we adjourn.